The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbot Brewing. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Carbot. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN, your number. 713-780-3776, or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776, and we're out here at Carbot, where they have a new dessert menu.
Oh.
The mango crepe cake.
I just had some.
He just brought that. What do you think?
It's delicious.
Is it?
Of course it is, yeah. It's like a, it's basically a stack of crepes.
Yeah. They're like layered.
Yeah, they've got like mascarpone and mangoes and orange marmalade in them.
My goodness.
It's so good.
I mean, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
It really does.
So you're on a diet, or I would offer to share.
Yeah, well, that's the hardest part about being on a diet is doing this job. Because then they plop something like this in front of you. And, of course, I already blew the diet by eating poutine earlier. Because I love their poutine
out here. And drinking
beer. And drinking beer, yes. So I can't make it any worse, though.
That's what diets are for, though, to blow.
Yeah, well, there's always the cheat day, right?
That's right.
And then that's pretty much any day that ends in AY. So 713-780-ESPN. If you're just getting in your car, come on out and join us, man. No reason to go home. People don't like you there. But they love you here. And you've got happy hour for another hour. You can get their mainstays for $3. How about that?
Yeah.
So, all right. I think now is probably a good time to get our college football picks out to the people.
Okay.
So this game we're playing with everyone. We took every host is going. This week we're doing one college game. We're all going to put up $20. Winner take all at the end of the year. Loser, last place, has to buy Big City Wings for the entire group. So
it's a fair deal.
I think it's a great deal. If it winds up being one of our poorer people, I'll buy the wings, but don't tell them I said that. I have my selection for this game was I took Florida Atlantic.
Okay.
Plus 10.5 at home against Indiana. I'm sorry, Florida International. I get my directional Florida schools confused, and I'm playing both of them this week. So that was my first play, was Florida International plus 10.5 against Indiana. I also like Florida Atlantic a lot against Oklahoma. I think new quarterback at Oklahoma in Murray. Now, that number's down to 20, but I don't have any illusions that Florida Atlantic's going to win the football game. But I don't – we'll find out, I guess, how good Baker Mayfield was and how important he was.
Yeah.
Because if he really was that important, then I think Florida Atlantic covers. So that's two. And then my third game that I'm playing, and all these I've already bet, I've got Appalachian State plus 24.5 at Penn State. I think that's just too big of a number. App State's not terrible. Penn State losing Barkley. I know they still have the quarterback, but I'll take 24.5 points and run with that.
I got a couple that I like. I like Michigan plus one. That's probably my favorite of the weekend, which is rare that I want to, you know, take a big national game, but I really feel that Michigan's the better team here. I don't think it's even that close. And I feel like Harbaugh, with finally having a real quarterback, it should be a pretty solid spot for them. I'm starting to lean more and more to the Texas minus 10.5. I just feel like Maryland's just got so much stuff going on. It's a train wreck, and Texas is going to be pissed off from last year. It seems like a good spot for them. I mentioned this the other day. I guess I'll bring it up again. I like San Diego State tonight against Stanford, getting 14 points. I just think that maybe too much too much hype on Stanford coming into this year. And, you know, San Diego State's not an easy team to beat up on. They're not an easy team to run away from. I also sort of lean towards Colorado State tonight getting over seven. I think they're at 7.5. I'll probably end up playing that if it gets to be evening time and I'm still awake and bored. give me something to do.
The other game that I haven't punched a ticket on yet, but I'm leaning that way, is UMass plus 17.5 against Boston College.
You mentioned that. I don't mind that either.
And UMass already has a game under its belt, too, which I like. And, again, a team that sort of gets overlooked, but they're a pretty solid football team, and Boston College is never anything to write home about. So that seems like a pretty fair spread. And that's really the only ones that jumped out at me. I was looking at UCLA, but the number's 14.5, and I don't feel good enough about it. So I don't have a single favorite this week. I got nothing but dogs.
I might be Texas I like. But other than that, you know, there's another one. I'm not sure where points are going to come from in the Army-Duke game tonight.
Yeah.
46 is the total. I feel you can move on that as if the game's already been played. I don't know who's going to score these magical points, but yeah.
And Army likes to try to slow the game
down.
That's
all they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, triple option. I mean, this is going to be pretty football by any means. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair.
All right.
I'm curious your thoughts on UH Rice this weekend.
I think
Rice has a game under their belt, mind you.
Yeah, I think UH runs it up. If I were betting it, I would give the 25.
Okay.
And I wouldn't think twice about it. I just think they're gonna house them, and they're gonna try to score a bunch of points so that everybody forgets the person they hired as their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's a good possibility.
Yeah. So I think UH rolls. Ben, quick thought on UCF last night. I didn't really watch any of that game. I flipped over, and so I don't really have any thoughts.
I saw some highlights. I mean, it looked impressive.
Yeah, yeah. 832 asks, when are you guys setting up your survival league?
I was just talking to Fred about that. I'll put that thing up next week. I'll basically announce it, and I'll give a time that I'm going to post it on Twitter. And I'll throw it up there, and I think it cut us off last year at 100 people. Is that right? So
yeah.
It'll be Fred, Jong, and I, and 97 of you fine folks. So the first 97 to get in, they get in, and that's it. And there were people last year, like it filled up in like 3 minutes, and everybody was like, "Can you do another one?" And no, there's just one. It can only make 97 of you happy. That's the limit.
It's too bad we can't make 97.5 of them happy.
John could co-own his team with someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, we'll be doing that next week. And, I think we're going to have – well, I think we're going to have some fantasy advertisers and we can set up weekly leagues with and stuff. But we'll let you know on that, too. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. If you wish to text the show, that's the best way to do it. You can also get us on Twitter. And just reminding you, we're out here at Carbach, and until 6 o'clock, $3 on all their mainstays out here. And they got Carbach Toberfest coming up, and AJ's been talking about that a lot. They've got the Music to Your Beer Wednesdays with free live music every Wednesday from 7 to 9. And, man, all the food out here is fantastic. I had the poutine earlier. The Korean fried chicken's great. And now they've got this dessert menu, and it's fantastic. These guys know what they're doing when it comes to the food. And you know the beer's good because it's Carbach, and they're the best. I have the best beer I've ever loved right in front of me.
Right
here.
There.
Yeah, so come on out. No reason to go home.
No.
This is a pretty cool place, by the way, if you've never been out here. I mean, it's a really good atmosphere. They just have a nice setup. There's plenty of room out there. Nice, really nice patio out there, which, you know, it's still a little warm for that. But it's starting to cool off.
And a lot of the bars you go to and you get bar food.
Yeah.
You can get wings maybe and, you know. But most of that food is not great. This is like legit food.
Yeah, this is a restaurant.
It's a restaurant
that also happens
to have a bunch of beer on the wall.
Yeah, and Big Dog asks, which pick is for the inner office game? Mine is Florida International, not Florida Atlantic.
Mine is Michigan.
So there you go. Now you'll know who will be off to the fast start. But
we'll keep those posted on Sports Map. We'll give weekly updates.
Yeah, that'll be a cool thing that we will do and put it on the website so you guys can follow along and root for your...
And heckle.
Yeah, heckle.
Feel free
to definitely, heckle. We definitely want to be heckled. And you can also make fun of us. You can play along at home, see if you're beating us. Of course, we won't know.
No.
People always used to do that. They're like, I went 8-2 last week. I was much better than you.
Like, by the way, everyone who doesn't publicly post their picks, they go 8-2.
Yeah, yeah. A documented 8-2.
Yep.
I feel you can move on this game as if it's already been played. But, play along and see how your picks fare up against ours, and we'll have some fun with it. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. And
we're going to do the Zadok Gym of the Day on the other side of this?
We probably should, because we'll have RJ and he goes over. So, what?
Can cars.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't hear what I thought he was talking.
I was trying to signal to you.
Oh,
by
so that,
making a
that was a car is what that was.
A steering wheel motion.
Huh.
That's I'm driving my car to
not,
donate.
It's not what it looked like. It looked like you were enjoying yourself. But, guys, I got to tell you about Texans Can Academies. And what they do is they're back in school now. They get kids that have had issues at other schools, and they didn't know have anywhere else to go. Well, Texans Can Academies takes them in, gives them another chance, works around their schedule if they need that. So many of them have jobs and things of that nature that they have to support their families. Well, Texans Can Academies works with them and helps them graduate. And so many of them go on and do great, great things. And the best part is you can help. They just need a donation, and by a donation, it can be a car, can be a truck, can be a motorcycle, can be a tractor, be a four-wheeler, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's running, doesn't matter if it's got flood damage. They're going to come and tow it free of charge. They're going to process the paperwork, and your donation's tax-deductible, and even more. Donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, you're going to get a $50 gift card. Just their way of saying thank you. Be the latest Blitzer to step up and donate a vehicle. Maybe you're going to fix it up, you never got around to it, and now it's just sitting there. Well, go ahead and do it, because you'll be doing a good thing and getting rid of something you're not using anymore. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go to carsforkids.org. Right off the car, not the kid.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carr Bot Brewing. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Carr Bot. We're until 6 o'clock, happy hour, $3 mainstays. Even after that, you can come out and get any of the great beers that they have on tap and enjoy some fantastic food in a great environment. And you can listen to The Blitz until 7 o'clock doing it. How about that?
That's pretty amazing.
So you want to do the Zadok Jewelers Gym now, because...
We probably should knock it out of the way.
Okay. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Man, I before we get to this... I really feel sorry for Tyler and his wife. How the heck do you have two little ones that size and not kill each other?
Oh, man.
I mean, yeah.
That's a shame.
I guarantee you that the if that were me, the marriage would last about one more week, because I'd get kicked out.
I mean, to be honest, that's what he gets for having children. I mean, this is...
We shouldn't be procreating. We really shouldn't.
Signed up for this life.
You know, Thanos was trying to get rid of half the people, and here you are creating more. What the hell?
You're so selfish, worried about your family.
All right. We go to Russia, where, you know, Russia's been in the news a lot lately. A lot of people like Russia.
A lot of nice people. A lot of the best people.
Tremendous people. Yeah. The best. Russia.
Not all the Russians
Russia's
are bad.
A good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Right.
Well, I don't know how I feel about this one, but... Ladies, if you go to Russia, small boobs are classified as a physical defect by Russian officials.
Oh, no.
True story.
Poor ladies.
The bizarre ruling came after a...
This is Trump's influence after he said it's very difficult to be a 10 if you're flat-chested. Everyone knows it. Now that's gone to be Russian policy?
Well, I mean, he does have small hands, so that... I don't know. But basically... there was complaints about a construction ad using an image of a petite woman measuring her chest to advertise small prices and lots of complexes. So Russia's advertising watchdog basically claimed women with small boobs have a physical defect. Officials agreed with the claims that the advert body shamed women, but said that the woman's small breasts were physical defects.
She couldn't help it.
Yeah. So,
does that go for men's penises as well?
Well, I don't think they actually show those in advertising. But I would kind of guess.
So you're not allowed to show physical defects in advertising?
Well, I don't think you're allowed to just pop one out.
Well,
I mean,
like, yeah, beyond that though, but like, what is it being a physical defect have to do with the advertisement?
Well, because that's basically how they the federal Anti-Monopoly Service ruled that the billboard used an offensive image of women, but it added that expert counsel found that the advertisement points to physical defects in women. So,
So they'll allow it, you're saying?
Yeah, they're allowing it, but it just means that if you have small breasts, it's a physical defect.
You know what? I think that there's room for women with big breasts and small breasts and medium breasts and...
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm a flavor. I'm about all kinds of flavors.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think, ladies, small-breasted ladies, I don't think you have a physical defect.
No, I
don't. Or deformity.
Either.
Or mutation. I think you're beautiful just the way you are.
Well, if you're married to me, you have a deformity.
Well,
but that's, you know.
That's a mental deformity.
Yeah, exactly. Pink Valkyrie not liking that story. Says she's bleeped. Hashtag Russia.
Yeah, hard times.
And she also said she knows someone who just adopted their sixth kid.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he goes, I don't know how they do it. Hashtag bleep that.
Well, good for them. I mean, somebody needs to adopt these kids.
Yeah. Six, though?
About to make abortion illegal around here. Everybody needs to start getting ready to adopt.
That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
You should adopt a child, Fred.
No, I shouldn't.
That'd be good for you. You've got more money than you know what to do with.
That's not true.
And?
I know what to do with it. I'm investing it.
If you had a kid, then it could stay in your downstairs room and alert you if someone came into the house.
Yeah, because that works so well with the dog.
Kids are not dogs. They're very different.
No.
Mostly physical appearance, but
they go around
some
and,
other
they go around
well.
And poop everywhere like dogs do.
I'm not saying adopt a baby.
Oh, I don't want that.
Adopt like a 9 or 10-year-old.
I don't want any more kids.
Who can, you know, vacuum, things like that.
I pay somebody to do that.
Well, wouldn't it be nice to not have to pay?
Well, it's going to cost me more if I adopt a kid.
But you're helping mold a young life.
I don't really think I need to be molding any more lives.
Okay. All right.
Now, we actually talked about it at one point, but I think if we do it, it won't be until we're elsewhere or we're staying.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to do something like that and then, oh, by the way, we're moving.
Right.
But, yeah, we've discussed it. I do think that there's a lot of good we could do with something like that if we chose to do it. But right now, both of us are so busy. I don't think the kid would get a great set of parents at the moment.
Yeah, okay. That's
so
fair.
A lot of that is stuff that once it's settled, I think we'll look at it. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you wish to text the show, RJ Bell at 5:30. So it'll be fun to get in with him and find out where his mind is right now in terms of. With college football starting and with the NFL, which, of course, is his big deal. We had Brad Powers on yesterday, who is very good at college football. And he had some interesting thoughts as well. So talk a little gambling for pretty much the next 30 minutes when RJ gets here, and then 6 o'clock, we'll just take it where it goes.
I'm for that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where do you think you want to take it?
At 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a good question. We'll probably go to some non-sports, huh?
Yeah, we've been pretty sportsy.
It's been a sportsy
but it has
day.
Been a sportsy day, and obviously with some of the Texans cuts coming across and Rockets making a deal. I haven't really talked to Astros too much yet.
Yeah, we'll get to non-sports at 6 o'clock.
Although we did have Carl Ravitch on, and he talked about the Astros quite a bit.
Yeah,
so
it's just a lot of sports.
Yeah.
I'm sportsed out.
I am too, and it's only 5:25.
Well.
But we're about to talk more sports with RJ.
That's different, though. That's gambling.
Yeah.
We're not talking about sports, really.
See, Tom Herman said his wife knew about the strip club visit.
I mean, what's the big deal there?
I know.
Let's be serious.
Why is this even a story?
Yeah. You're saying a college football coach went to a strip club.
Yeah.
Okay. That, like, there's a lot of dudes who go to the strip club. It's not a...
There's not a scarlet letter here.
Right.
But...
They act like he abducted and murdered a stripper. Like, if that were the case, now you got a story, okay? Now
yeah, but who hasn't done that?
Now
Come
we've got
on.
A story.
Who hasn't done
yeah,
that?
Yeah, but you've done that, but you're not in a high-profile coaching job.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if a high-profile coach, you know, abducts and murders a stripper, that's national news.
Well, not if you make her disappear, which is very easy to do.
But, well, clearly he couldn't even hide the fact that he went to the strip club. How's he going to... How's he going to make that disappear?
I don't understand why Tom Herman is such a big part of this story.
I think it's kind of an FU from Urban Meyer to put his name out there to involve it with the story. Which it seems like, you know, Urban Meyer would have his own stuff to worry about right now.
Yeah.
But he's one of those, like, he's burning it down.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
If I can throw somebody else under the bus, I'm more than happy to do it. Oh, well. He's not the nicest guy.
No.
There's no question. All right. We're going to take a break, I think. I can't tell if the music...
It's playing.
Okay, because I can't tell if that's the music in my head or if it's the music here at Carbach.
It's in your head.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. And it makes me wonder. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Carbach. You've got another 28 minutes for the happy hour to come out and get you some great beer, get you some great food, hang out with some terrific people. And speaking of terrific people.
Or if they're not that great, the beer's good. And then the more you drink, the less... Or
the less you hate,
intolerant you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, the less you hate the other person. Yeah. There's that. But speaking of terrific people, time for our buddy RJ Bell. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, pregame.com. And RJ, I noticed in your notes the very first game that you sent, you and AJ actually agree on something.
What?
Well, first, let me disagree with what he said a second ago. Is I think if you're drunk or intoxicated, you become more like you naturally are, what your nature is. So if you're a really nice person and you drink, you probably tend to be more open and nice and forgiving. But if you're a mean person, I'm not saying AJ necessarily, but, you know, we'll let the audience judge. Someone like a mean person, you get more mean when you're drunk. I don't think like drinking makes a mean person nice.
No, it does. This is me speaking as a mean person. when I get drunk, I don't get nice, but I'm less likely to care about being around someone who's annoying to me.
Oh, you just ignore that.
Yeah, my give a bleepo meter just drops down into the into the E. Like I just don't care.
You know that I think that's unusual because
maybe so.
Yeah, because I think people that are difficult tend to get very difficult. I mean, think about walking into some small town Texas bar, and there's some there's a dude there that's got a bad attitude. Are you hoping he's got 9 beers in him? I'm not.
Yeah, you're probably right. What about you, RJ? What happens to you when you drink?
You know, drinking has never been my thing. I mean, in high school, now this sounds crazy, but in high school, I drank like a fish. I mean, I remember the summer between my junior and senior year, we drank 70 out of 90 days. We had a little tally going. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But again, you ever see the movie Dazed and Confused?
Yes.
Yeah, with the kids graduating high school. It was actually set in Texas. Yeah. It was like my upbringing, though that show was like in 76 and that movie, and I graduated in 88. But where I grew up, it was like about 20 years behind the time. So that kind of makes sense. but that movie and All the Right Moves, the Tom Cruise movie, you combine those two, and that's exactly how RJ grew up. Yep.
Okay. I've learned something new today. Well, let's get back to where you. Well, I didn't know that you looked like Tom Cruise. So No.
I would say a young Tom Cruise in high school, you know, but it's been a while.
All right. Well, let's get to this because as I was saying, you guys actually almost sound like you're making the exact same argument for Michigan over Notre Dame. AJ pretty much said the same stuff, so I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts there.
Yeah, and, you know, Brad Powers, who you guys have on a good bit, he feels stronger about that, and I was passing on some of his, you know, concepts. I'm actually a little more ambivalent on this game, and I guess it makes sense that I'm not agreeing with AJ. And here's the thinking. This line opened up around a touchdown in June. Now, that's the thing about week one that's unlike any other week, is the lines are open for multiple weeks, if not a month or two, on the bigger games. So the idea that the money has been Michigan, because, by the way, Notre Dame was that favorite by about a touchdown. So Michigan, all the way down to Pick'em, like, okay, maybe at +4 I like Michigan, maybe at, you know, obviously at +6, but now we're getting to the point it's pick the winner. And to me, I just have a feeling about Harbaugh that, and let me give you a good analogy. Bill Snyder, right? A lot of Big 12 people, I'm sure, listening, fans. In my opinion, you go back, and for those younger, look in the Sports Illustrated vault in 1988 or 89, Sports Illustrated did a article about Kansas State, saying it was the worst program in the history of college football. And my best buddy, best man at my wedding, was a punter on that team, graduated with me, so his first year was 88. He was there from Bill Snyder all the way through 95 as a player and then eventually as a GA type. And then, ironically, and you guys know this, he moved down with Dana Dimel to Wyoming, then eventually to Houston, maybe not as fondly remembered in Houston, Coach Dimel, but Bill Snyder, I would make the case, the greatest builder of a horrible program into something we've ever seen. Certainly on the list. You know something, though? Bill Snyder in bowl games was below average. And I'm not talking about, oh, playing a much better team and they get beat. No, I'm talking about against the spread. By definition, expectation, the spread. Why? Well, I really thought about this and talked to numerous people on the team over the years, and here was the conclusion. Bill Snyder was so intense, so detail-oriented, so on top of every play, and that allowed him to take a horrible team and make them good and eventually make them borderline national champions. People might remember Big 12 championship game. They were ahead in the last, I don't know, 4 minutes. And in the mid-90s, and they would have been in the national championship game. So it would have been an amazing 10-year turnaround or less. And it still was, but it would have been, like, shocking at that point. Why, though, did they lose that game? Well, I don't know about that. Why did, in general, were they not as good, Kansas State in the bowls? Because that intensity made the team tight in the biggest games. Everything felt so big that when it was even bigger, it felt too big, too big. I got to wonder with Harbaugh, that especially considering this is the put up or shut up year. You can, as an Ohio State fan, I'm not a big Harbaugh guy. As a Steeler fan, I'm not a fan of the brother, right? So I don't like this family very much as a sports fan, right? But the reality is they're very good. But I think the reality is they're very intense. And this feels like a high-pressure game. They win this game. All of a sudden, Michigan, national title. Here we go. Harbaugh, this is what we paid for. If they lose, man, is there going to be a swinging narrative bigger than the Harbaugh swinging narrative at Michigan based on this game for weeks and weeks? And I think that's pressure that he's not going to respond to well, and thus his players won't. So I think there's reasons to like Michigan, but I'm not going to bet it.
Yeah, I like Michigan mostly because everyone's been saying, what's going to happen when Harbaugh finally gets a good quarterback? And I feel like now he's finally got one, and the rest of that team seems like they're in place, and it just seems like everything's set up for them. And it also is just a perfect storm because I've been talking all offseason that I'm not crazy about this Notre Dame team. I think everyone is higher on this Notre Dame team than I am. There's people who are picking them for the playoff, and I can't imagine a scenario where that happens. So it happened to be a team that I'm looking to ride a little bit this year, taking on a team that I'm looking to fade.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense in that it's always best when you have an opinion on both teams. Right, because you can have an opinion on one, the other, both, and you can have opinion on matchups. You can, they don't cover the tight ends well, or you can have an opinion on situation. Oh, they're tired, or this team played a first game and the other team didn't. There's all kind of ways to handicap. But to me, at the most intuitive is, I think this team's overrated. I think this team's underrated. That said, and I'm not a college expert, but I'm going by a show we prepped for my own show about a month ago, and we had some sound from a college football expert. And if I remember, this quarterback for Michigan was at Mississippi. Am I remembering right?
Yeah. Yes.
And apparently Mississippi pretty much, said don't let the door hit you on the way out. Whereas the quarterback they got now, they're much happier with. How good can this guy be? And maybe ultimately he's not that good, but he's better than last year's Michigan quarterback, and I can accept that. But I think this idea this guy's elite, boy, why is Mississippi acting the way they did with him?
Well, let's also ask ourselves this. Why was Ole Miss a contender just a couple years ago, and now they're projected to finish last in the SEC West? I don't think they're making the most sound football decisions as of late, personally.
Yeah, and again, is it that, or is it, this was a team that was – and again, I don't know. I'll say allegedly, but this was a team that was doing some shenanigans allegedly.
Right.
And as the spotlight gets brighter, the shenanigans get tougher to do.
Well, yeah,
take it from me.
But it was a Hugh Freeze recruit, and Matt Luke takes that team. He probably wants his own guys. But honestly, if I'm looking at a guy who Hugh Freeze was recruiting, I've got more respect for that than a guy that Matt Luke would have recruited. So, yeah, I do tend to buy into
with
that,
his pedigree, but how has he turned out?
Oh, well, right?
Because
everyone
that Alabama recruits is the top-ranked recruit, but some pan out and some don't.
That's true.
RJ Bell, our guest, pregame.com. RJ, any of these other games that you do like, LSU, Miami, or Louisville, Alabama?
I'm actually very interested. I don't think you can bet this Alabama game unless you know the following answer. I don't know the answer, and maybe it's out there and I missed it. Who is the backup quarterback if Alabama, or who's going to come in the game if Alabama's up 20 with 8 minutes left?
At quarterback?
Do we know? Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to use those quarterbacks. I don't know if they're going to rotate series for series. I know how
well,
I think.
Let me interject.
I assume the Tags is going to get the majority of the first half snaps, but I also think that they want to work Hurts in packages here and there. I'm not exactly sure how they'll. At what point do they say, okay, we're going to take Tagovailoa off the field? I don't know what that point is.
If you're correct, I like Alabama. Here's what I'm concerned about. The rumor is, or at least the discussion has been, oh, Hurts is going to graduate this December. Once he's graduated with a new redshirt, he can transfer without sitting out. And the new redshirt rules say 4 games or less, and you can still redshirt. And he doesn't have – he hasn't used his redshirt yet. So the assumption I heard is they don't use him unless they need to, promising him, hey, listen, if somehow the new starter gets hurt or doesn't play near as well, you step in and you're the quarterback of the best team in the country or one of the best. And if he plays well, the current starter, the guy, you know, obviously took him back from a big deficit last year, then we'll use you judiciously 4 games or less, and then you've got 2 years left. So it's a free roll for him. So my gut feeling is they don't use him up 20 if they haven't used him earlier in the game. And thus, one of the things that would make me want to bet Alabama is the idea, hey, this backup quarterback is last year's starter. Once he's in, they're going to keep throwing because it's going to be an affront. It's going to be a, you know, a personal kind of dig at him. They just have him hand off. And remember, one of the sharpest bets in the last decade was prior to last year playing Alabama under the total in the second half because Saban was like a Belichick where he would just run and say, hey, we're up 30. We don't need to get off. We don't need anything else here. Let's get back to the practice facility and we'll hit each other. I don't want to hit these schmoes. That was Saban's approach. But last year he had a really good backup and started saying, we got to give this guy some reps, some real reps, not to hand off. Now that it's flipped, if they put Hurts in, are they just going to have him hand off? If so, why burn one of his 4 games? So I think it's a big issue, and I don't think you can bet the game unless you know the answer.
RJ Bell, our guest. Hey, so any movement on Super Bowl odds or anything like that now that we're done with the preseason? Did we see does any of anything we saw mean anything to any of these numbers?
I think with the rookies, especially a quarterback, when it's one against ones, you got to take it seriously. I mean, can we not be – is there anyone out there that's not a little less enthusiastic about Lamar Jackson? Right? So I think with the quarterbacks – and I also think when it's ones versus ones, that, you know, I know it's less plays than a regular 4-game stretch, but, you know, I think most ones got about – a little less than a game of playing time. So just break it out, and I think you can gain some stuff. I'll share two more topics with you in the NFL, and obviously next week we'll have week one. I think the teams that didn't do a true dress rehearsal in week three, I'm looking to fade them in week one. Now I'm going to give an exception. The exception is going to be the Bears. And let me hold that for a second. The reason is we've got a long history of Bill Parcells, Chuck Noll, Tom Landry, go up and down the list, Bill Walsh, Jimmy Johnson, that said, hey, we're going to play our guys pretty hard in the preseason. And oh, by the way, week three, at least the first half in the first series of the second, it's going to be like a regular game. Now, we've got these young guys, Jared Goff, and the boy genius, I'll say in quotes, there with the Rams. And the idea of, oh, no, Jared Goff doesn't need any practice or any in-game reps. Come on. Jared Goff was horrible in year one. And the boy genius coached him up, no doubt. And he had a good year, not a great year. Look at his third and long, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, which is when you can't really scheme. McVay can't really scheme out of it, right, which is where we saw some problems, which to me is a big problem, and we'll see. I'm down on Goff this year, but he didn't need to have a dress rehearsal. Now, I get it. Come game two or even, you know, two even or maybe three, it doesn't matter. But in week one, how in the heck can the Rams be as ready? And you got Bill Belichick saying the following, and this is a fact. I consider September – to be four more preseason games that I cannot have. I want to win, but I can't have my team ready because with the new agreement with the union, or again, it's not really new, the most recent, now it's, you know, 4 or 5 years old, is he doesn't have as much practice time. And thus, Belichick says, I'm not ready. And if you look at the way the Pats play in week 1 through 4 since that new agreement, it's significantly worse than the rest of the year. Because Belichick's doing things to get ready, not necessarily maxing his chance to win, even though he wants to win. But he's not going to sacrifice a win in September or win in December for a win in September. So now they're going to say, oh, yeah, I hear you, Belichick, but you're wrong. In fact, we don't even need to play game 3. I find it to be absurd. Here's the exception. The more I read about the Bears, and I'm doing some in-depth research as we speak last couple days on all these teams. It's like a cramming the paper chase, cramming in law school or something. It's a little more enjoyable, though, is the idea that I think the Bears are hiding what they're really going to do with Nagy. And I think they went vanilla the whole offseason or the whole preseason. And because of that, there was no real reason to go vanilla again with Trubisky in game 3. And thus, I think you're going to see a big surprise schematically out of the Bears in game 1. And I think just like when this is an extreme case, when the Dolphins went in the Wildcat, it was against the Patriots the first time they did it. And even Bill Belichick didn't know what to do. You think Belichick would have went back and said, well, this reminds me of the single wing that Dennison did back in 47. He didn't know what to do. I think that you're going to see the Bears look mighty good in week 1 because they're going to uncover their scheme in a way that I don't think their opponent's going to be ready for.
Well, you bring up the what Bill Belichick thinks of the first 4 games of the season, and that piques my interest because their first game of the season is against the Houston Texans. So when you see a number like 6.5, do you start to think about fading the Patriots, knowing that, you know, they don't take these games as, you know, do or die as some of the other teams in the NFL do?
I do, and I also think the following, and this is a powerful concept, and it's not that complex, but you never hear it talked about. When we always say, hey, RJ, this isn't you guys, this is some other host, not as sharp. Hey, RJ, what do you think of the Houston, the Texans? Well, that question doesn't really tell me what you want me to answer. If it's how do they look this week versus how do they look across the season, not only are there matchup considerations this week, but I think it's more than that. Certain teams are brittle. And Houston, especially with J.J. Watt's injury history and others on the defense, but even more importantly, times 10 with Deshaun Watson. If you tell me Deshaun Watson is going to be healthy every game this year, I'm betting Houston will win the Super Bowl. I don't think they're favored.
Oh, boy. Wow.
But I love them. Let's see, what can I get right now? I can get 25-1 if I shop. I'll bet it right now. If he's not healthy, I don't want any piece of it. Right? So I think that the Texans have a high, high ceiling if everything goes right. Because I think Deshaun Watson, if you look at what he did last year, was maybe the best quarterback in the NFL. Right? He was certain. I mean, if we look at it statistically, was anyone better in that number of games?
I think Deshaun Watson was the best fantasy quarterback for about 6 weeks. I don't know if he was the best NFL quarterback during those 6 weeks. I mean, he was still making some rookie mistakes.
Difference?
I mean, the turnovers is one difference for sure. He went 3-3 in those games, and it wasn't all because the defense was bad. I mean, he made some pretty big mistakes in those games as well. I just think that we look at the statistics and go, wow, he was just an unstoppable force. He was really impressive, but he was still a rookie quarterback and was still making some rookie mistakes out there.
Yeah, what rookie quarterback doesn't?
It's a good point. But all I'm saying is...
So the theory is there's a jump in year 2. I mean, yeah, listen.
Well, the theory is for me that this is still sort of part of year 1. The guy has 6 games.
Yeah, how much... And again, I think there's certain things you need the reps on the field. And there's certain things that sit, you know, if you look at what Mahomes is doing for the Chiefs, is this year 1 for him?
I think it is year 1 for him.
In some ways,
I think it's
but not in others.
You know, you talk about making a jump in year 2. And I think it can go one of two ways. I think we've seen a lot of guys. You mentioned Goff earlier in this segment who made a jump from year one to year two. Carson Wentz obviously made a massive jump year one to year two. Dak Prescott, who came out and had a fantastic year one, completely regressed year two. I mean, sometimes the league adjusts.
Still an above-average quarterback. Here's what I'll say. You're making a great point. And I've actually reevaluated my answer. My answer to this is different than it would have been 2 weeks ago. Always keep learning, kids. All right, here's the thing. Especially about point spreads. I didn't mean that. If it's legal. Okay, here's the thing. If a quarterback has specific intangible limitations, oh, look, he's 5'9". Oh, look, his arm is bottom quartile of the league. Oh, look, he doesn't stay in the pocket, but he runs fast, RG3 style. Those quarterbacks can tend to regress in year two. Because what happens is the league has the whole offseason to figure out what they did right. And they say, well, considering their limitations, they're not going to be able to do counter this. And here we go. And I think that's what we saw with RG3. I think it's what we might see with Goff. Because with Goff, they schemed him up so much. There's so many play actions. I think they're going to find his limitations. If you have a quarterback that has the physical tools, and between year one and two is usually just a growth curve. They just get better. So the question with Watson is, and the only reason he went 10th, did he go 10th because of some kind of bias about, you know, black quarterbacks and the idea that, oh, he was mobile and maybe that's not really good for the NFL. But if you just think of him as a pocket passer, does he have the physical skills to be a pocket passer? If he does, then I don't think we have any problem. If you think that it was all smoke and mirrors and with a whole offseason, people is going to be able to figure out how to make him do the things he's not able to do, a la play left-handed like Belichick calls it, then I think there's a cause for concern. Let me ask you guys, physically, is Watson got enough tools to be an elite quarterback?
I think yes. Assuming that he can stay healthy, everything else is in place. Well, he went 12th.
Or 12th. Why'd he go 12th?
You know, I don't know. I don't know why Pat Mahomes went 10th.
Because he was a big winner. He was a big winner. Well, Pat Mahomes has more of the classic attributes of a great quarterback in the NFL, right?
Really. Patrick Mahomes played in a goofball college football system that has never produced a winner at the NFL level. No one's ever translated and been like, oh, yeah, this guy who never took a snap from under center in his whole life is suddenly great at football. It just hasn't happened. And then Mitch Trubisky went second.
We know Wentz was great at football. Right? Every year there's a bunch of, you know, Dave Klingler was good at football, right? Andrew Ware was good at football. Let's do some Houston running shooters, right? But the question is, when it's camp time, how far can you throw the ball? How many times are you going to hit the tire? Like Sorensen, right? Little Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
And to me, those are the guys where a Josh, you know, the Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen is going to excel. Yeah. But the question is, can he play? And we know Watson could play. The question with him was, did he have the intangibles? Did he have the physical skills? But I don't think there's any question. And tell me if you disagree. That Mahomes would have scored better on the how tall is he, how strong is his arm, you know, how classic of a quarterback is, or at least skill set does he have?
Yeah, Mahomes measures out better. So, and Trubisky measured out better. I think the other thing that sort of dropped the stock on Watson was that he did have a blown ACL in college, and there was concern about that. And clearly that concern was warranted, and he blows another one since he's been in the NFL. So I think a guy's injury history also plays a part when it comes to draft stock.
What's Fred doing? Is Fred getting paid right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boy, he's got the life, doesn't he? Is he in pistachios?
He's got some cookies in front of him. He had a beer, but now he's got water. And now he's looking at his phone.
Fred is like is he really looking at his phone?
Yeah. Yeah. He's fact-checking you.
Oh, okay. I'll take that at least.
No, so, I was just looking up and seeing it's 5:58 and we're 4 minutes over for break.
Yeah. Here's the last thing I say. Fred is the Artie Lang that doesn't do heroin.
I think that's a really good description. The show wouldn't be the same without him. I do know
that's
that.
That's true.
I
Thanks,
do know
guys.
That. Thanks,
right,
RJ.
See ya. Tell you about.
And who's RJ to say that you don't do heroin?
Well, that's kind of mean of him to just assume that I don't.
Yeah, what do
I
mean? You think Fred's some kind of square?
Yeah, I mean, I don't do heroin, but.
But if you did, that'd be fine, too.
I do think it would be, I'd like to at least be considered as a kind of person who would do heroin. All right, guys, I got to tell you what I will be doing this weekend, and that's eating sausage. Zumo's Party Time Sausage, Zumo's Boudin, Zumo's Andouille Sausage, all of them are fantastic. And if you're going to be grilling this weekend, there's only one thing to get. Go to the store, go to your Kroger, go to your HEB. Go to your Fiesta and get some Zumo's. Party Time Sausage has been passed down from generation to generation since 1908. Made from the highest quality ingredients and perfectly blended spices, then hickory smoked for 4 hours for a truly genuine southern taste. The Boudin is my favorite Boudin that I've had. And the Andouille Sausage, truly authentic Cajun-style sausage. It's great in gumbos, jambalayas, red beans, and rice, or just straight off the grill. You can find all of them at your local grocery stores. Go get them today. Z-U-M-M-O-S. That's Zumo's. Make it a Zumo's weekend.
Your stairway.